This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. 57 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy this morning with a slight chance of drizzle. High today in the upper 60s. That's it. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunshine, high up about 70. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 45. Then for your weekend, Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday night, cloudy with the lows in the upper 40s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, high about 70. Sunday night, also cloudy and a chance of rain. And on Monday, we'll start out with a high in the low 70s. Simultaneously, 18 new businesses opened their doors Wednesday evening with the official grand opening of Launch Chapel Hill. WCHL's Rand Northam has the story.
Government, business, and higher education can come together to create a great economy. That's how Chapel Hill got to where it is today, and it's the only way we're going to meet the future we know our community deserves.
That's Chapel Hill's Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt speaking just outside the business incubator located on Rosemary Street. He, along with Launch's entrepreneur-in-residence Jim Kitchen, UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe, and Orange County Commissioner's Chair Barry Jacobs, symbolized the finalization of a process Downtown Partnership Executive Director Meg McGurk says was almost exactly a year in the making.
We have all of these ventures that have already been in here for a few months that are already growing with these fantastic ideas. I mean, there's some of the most creative ideas inside of Launch right now. We all talk so much about what we want, but we actually made this happen.
The grand opening came on the day when Orange County's unemployment rate for March was released and once again came in as the lowest in the state. Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce President Aaron Nelson says it's opportunities like Launch that will continue to bring that number down and help all of Orange County thrive.
Chapel Hill Carborough and Orange County have a great economy. We were late into this recession. We are first out, and entrepreneurship and innovation is going to be our future. We're going to focus on the university's growth and expansion, the hospital, education, and then things like this, like Launch Chapel Hill, where small and mid-sized enterprise can thrive here in our community.
And while jobs are statistically increasing in Orange County, Chapel Hill relies heavily on the creation of jobs from UNC. But as Chancellor Thorpe says, the continuous budget cuts handed out by the state legislature put a kink in that plan.
These are the jobs that will move the meter in terms of the unemployment rate. The university is lucky if we can keep our budget flat right now. So there's not going to be huge amounts of new hiring there. But the entrepreneurial businesses can grow quickly, and the more we start here, the more they can do that and contribute to Orange County's economy. So great news on the unemployment rate, and this is certainly part of the whole picture.
The Venture Lab is 3,500 square feet, so all 18 businesses are literally right next door to each other. While there are mentors and coaches helping them to eventually reach their goals of getting outside the four walls of Launch and helping them to be self-sustaining, Kitchen says some of the help has to come from one another.
A key part of this is really going to be getting these businesses to create this culture where they do support one another.
Each business startup signs a six-month agreement with Launch. If needed, that contract can be extended to 1 year. Then it's out into Chapel Hill, where Kitchen says there are a lot of opportunities just around the corner.
We have 140 West. Very soon we're going to have 123 West, which is the former University Square space. And then these companies will move to these other places across the street. So it's an incredible new ecosystem that we're developing here.
Last night's event welcomed many people from the community to walk through the new business incubator. You can see a gallery of images from the event on our website, chapelboro.com, where you can also find more information on Launch and its 18 ventures and hear the official remarks from last night's grand opening. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Rand mentioned that we have some better unemployment numbers, and indeed we do. Orange County's unemployment rate continued to fall in the final month of the first quarter, dropping an additional 0.3%. That's a trend that all but one of the state's counties experienced. According to the North Carolina Department of Commerce, Labor, and Economic Analysis Division, Orange County had the lowest unemployment rate, not seasonally adjusted, in North Carolina in March at 5.6%. That's compared to Graham County, which remained the highest in the state at 17.8%. The jobless rate in Orange is also down 0.3% from March of last year. The only county in North Carolina that did not see a decrease was Wilson County, which broke even at 12.3. To see a breakdown of county-by-county unemployment rates, all 100 counties in North Carolina for March 2013, you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. Cameron's Gift Shop is changing locations after 32 years in University Mall. Cameron's is moving to the 300 East Main space in Carrboro, the redevelopment project that hopes to be the entertainment, dining, and shopping center of downtown Carrboro. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
We just started thinking about new possibilities, different things we could do to increase our traffic. And at the same time, we'd heard about 300 East Main and found it intriguing, so we started a conversation with them and pretty instantly felt like it was the right place for us.
That's Wendy Smith of Cameron's. The shop calls itself a local gallery of jewelry, cards, clothing, bath, toys, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's has been in their current space since 1987, but have been in the University Mall location since 1981. Cameron's will most likely be the first tenant to open in 300 East Main. Smith says they hope to move into their new space by late July or early August this year. Leasing agent Patty Benedict is a partner with Main Street Properties, the developer behind the project. She says Cameron's was a good fit for the space because it's been a part of the community for decades.
From the beginning, particularly really for this first phase, we have focused on targeting North Carolina-based companies, restaurants, and retail space to get them to the area.
Joining Cameron's will be the Charlotte-based Hickory Tavern, a family dining and sports cafe. Moonlight Management of Raleigh will be opening two restaurants in the location, East Main Meatball Shop and a tequila and empanadas restaurant that's still in the conceptual stages.
I think Carrboro really does buy local, and I think Chapel Hill does as well, that they appreciate boutique and unique food offerings and tastings.
Benedict explains 300 East Main's development will be done in three phases. The opening of their restaurants and Cameron's relocation is a part of phase one. She says about 18,000 square feet of the first floor retail and restaurant spaces will be completed as a part of the first phase, as well as a parking deck adding 500 spaces. Hampton Inn and Suites is currently under construction right now. It's also included in phase one of the project. For more information about 300 East Main and the other phases of the redevelopment, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board will revise the walk zones for several neighborhoods when the board meets tonight. The redistricting associated with opening the new Northside Elementary and converting Frank Porter Graham Elementary into a magnet school led administrators to review the current walk zones. Neighborhoods have to be no more than a mile and a half from school to qualify as a walk zone. Households in those neighborhoods are not eligible for busing to and from school. Potentially impacted neighborhoods include Elliott Apartments, Colbert Ridge, Spring Valley, and Webwood. The school board will meet tonight, 7 o'clock, in council chambers at Town Hall. UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe says it was possible to narrow down the investigation into the African and Afro-American Studies Department simply in regards to academics and athletics. It would center around two figures connected to the department's administrative assistant, Deborah Crowder.
In terms of the athletics part, you know, I think there's been all this discussion about whether it was an athletics thing or wasn't an athletics thing. Of course, the athletes knew about this, and we have been transparent about the fact that Debbie Crowder is the longtime partner of Warren Martin, and it was in the Martin Report, and in my opinion, maybe not acknowledged to the extent that it should have been, that Burgess McSwain, the longtime basketball tutor, was a close, close friend of Debbie Crowder's. So that provided the access to what was going on.
The aftermath of the multiple investigations into the AFAM department, both internal and external, have left the university with a myriad of policies in place to try and make sure the same thing doesn't happen again. However, the chancellor says he hopes it's not too much.
The only thing that worries me about the changes in oversight is whether it's overkill and whether we'll be able to sustain it. So I think there's no question that we've got lots of policies in place to catch this kind of thing. But I think more importantly in terms of the culture, as I've said numerous times in this interview, is, you know, recognizing that this place isn't perfect and things can happen here. And this happened for 14 years, and lots of great, great people who served this university well were administrators during that time, and none of us caught this.
Those comments were made in a WCHL News special end-of-term interview with Jim Hevner. You can hear part five of that interview coming up this morning in just a few minutes at 8:30, and then again at 3:30 and 5:30 during our WCHL Afternoon and Evening News with Aaron Keck. The interview with the Chancellor will be played in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday. WCHL News Time, 8:17, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. You'll see Mike Benson at Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. And now let's check with Rachel Nash and find out what's going on our roadways this morning.
Good morning, Ron. Everything is all clear. That's been the story for the morning. So cross our fingers that it remains that way. I-40, 15501, 54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. But if you do see something during the rest of your morning commute, call us in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior, or you can tweet us at WCHL. But if you do, we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thanks so much, and thanks for all the work you and Rand are doing back in the newsroom this morning.
Sure thing.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. Join them at the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features. With a special feature every day of the week, there's sure to be a night out that is perfect for you. Menu specials and hours available at CarolinaInn.com. It is 58 degrees in Chapel Hill. Kind of a mild morning here. Cloudy. It's going to be cloudy all day. Slight chance of drizzle. High today in the upper 60s. Shouldn't get any heavy rain, but this light stuff we've been having here. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, a lot of sunshine. High tomorrow, about 70. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy again with a low in the middle 40s. On Saturday, partly sunny. We'll be optimistic. High in the upper 60s. Saturday night, a lot of clouds with the lows in the upper 40s. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy still with a high of about 70 degrees. That's our weather forecast over the next several days, including your weekend.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 8:19, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. Chapel Hill is growing at a fast rate, and the need for sustainable development is vital for the future of our town. But as we grow, affordable housing is in jeopardy. In 1990, the population was 94,000. As of last year, it had grown to 138,000. Here's Fred Black, a Chapel Hill resident who served in the military for 26 years and is very active in our community.
One of the things that strikes me is that when we talk about growth, in a major way, we're talking about coping with change. And change, of course, can be very, very difficult to deal with, particularly on elected bodies. But even citizen groups have a hard time sometimes getting their hands around change.
Fred Black moderated a panel at WCHL's Community Forum last week that focused on how the high cost of development, the lack of affordable housing, the state of public transportation, how it all affects the town's planning process. George Cianciello is a Duke University Associate Professor of Pathology. He's former chair of the Chapel Hill Planning Board. Cianciello was here, and he said builders participate in the high-end market as opposed to affordable housing because it's more lucrative. The cost of getting into the market is so high, but the return is high with the high-end houses. He says it's not worth their risk of investing in affordable housing when they know that they will get the returns from high-end housing. Here's Cianciello.
I think what we did wrong was we did not keep our eye on the ball in terms of the balance between commercial growth and residential growth. And we've had excellent residential growth. I think we've tried to plan our residential growth. But in doing so, we lost the fact that without that commercial tax base, we put much more pressure on the residential taxpayers.
Dolores Bailey is Executive Director of Empowerment in Chapel Hill. She says the growth has negatively affected affordable housing.
Even as we grapple today, not just with Northside and Pine Knolls, as we look at this over and over again, we are pushing out those people. As we grow and it looks great and we're bringing in lots of different types of people, there's a certain level of folk that are not being addressed.
Here's Damon Siles, the newest member of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen.
We have, I think, despite our best intentions, experience a little bit of sprawl. I don't think that that type of residential development is something that is ultimately going to be sustainable.
Orange County Commissioner Renee Price says that when you venture out into the rural areas surrounding town, the residential subdivisions have really popped up all over the place, and she says this is causing the loss of our farmlands.
We're changing the landscape of Orange County and what it looks like and who's here and who's not here.
Dwight Bassett, Chapel Hill Economic Development Officer, explained that home values are unusually high in our region and about 8% higher in Chapel Hill. That, of course, is also accompanied by a high property tax.
We need to go back and understand how we arrived at that destination, that we decided we shouldn't let the market dictate what seemed to be appropriate for this area. We should go back to the basic premise that the market will guide and direct itself.
The panel also tackled the idea of public transportation. They agreed it goes hand in hand with growth. To read more about that and other topics covered during the Growth Forum, visit our website, chapelboro.com. As budget season kicks into high gear, local and state officials are working to determine what services make up the local area's top priorities. But the local community is sharply divided on which of those entities ought to come first. Here is community member Greg Bell.
There is a level of service that we want to maintain, be it libraries or recycling pickup or affordable housing. It is very sad and will be even more sad to watch the gradual dismantling of those services. I just strongly feel that all of these things have been developed for a reason, and that even though the General Assembly is going to force a lot of unfounded mandates on us, we need to do our best to hold on and try to get through this.
Since the beginning of the year, Chapel Hill Town Council members have been focusing on a process known as priority budgeting, where they will concentrate their funding and where they will consider making cuts. According to local resident Bonnie Hauser, three particular services are at the top of the list of entities that need the most attention in Chapel Hill and throughout Orange County. But Hauser adds that at the same time, local government officials should limit the amount of funding that they put into any of them.
I don't know how to choose between public safety, schools, or libraries. Certainly we want them all. But I don't understand why our services have to be so much more expensive than everybody else. And I feel that every time we do something, we're not building a Cadillac, we're going for the Bentleys and the Bugatti. And that's a concern. So our recycling program, for example, this is just the curbside recycling, costs double what curbside recycling costs in any other county.
And Amanda Shirley has lived in North Carolina for about 6 years. She says the Orange County area doesn't always have to outdo surrounding communities.
Every year it just feels like it's like we need to take more money away from this and more money away from that, and it's never about how can we more efficiently do this. If we could look at what we're doing with it, maybe we don't need three libraries, maybe we can do two libraries, you know, that kind of thing.
But one major expense over the past several years has been the newly renovated Chapel Hill Public Library. The facility finally had its grand opening earlier this spring after budget cuts postponed the process several times over the past decade. But the project's financial burden still hasn't completely been erased. Out of the $700,000 from the town budget that was projected, about $350,000 still has to be implemented into the library's operating budget cost. Another recent focus has been emergency services. In recent months, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County have all been focused on improving the efficiency of EMS resources. Hauser says it's an ideal opportunity to save money through cooperation.
The county needs about a dozen or so new ambulance substations, and they can build separate ones for nearly $1 million each, or they can co-locate them with the fire stations and save a lot of money and have our emergency services people work together. But it takes cooperation between the towns and the county to start coming to those decisions.
And according to local resident Jeff Danner, cooperation will be essential over the next few months as town officials begin discussing potential tax increases to offset budget shortfalls, even if it means that some town and county members are paying for services that they don't often use.
Different people find different things to be vital. I think you have to accept we come together as a community. I mean, community is not an a la carte proposition. And I think we just need to be willing to kick in and participate in that.
Community member Lee Hevlin says before local elected officials approve any hikes, they also need to consider the area's affordability.
It's going to displace the people who cannot afford to get it. And if you want to bring people to your community and have a true dynamic of all kinds of people with all kinds of talents, that will help you grow. Because the ones who are less talented will become talented. And they'll be your future. And they will build their families and their families build theirs, like Chapel Hill had for many years. But today, we're seeing people leave, and we need to stop that.
These comments and many more made during part one of the Bottom Line panel in the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Community Forum. You can hear the 10-hour forum in its entirety by visiting a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Sutz. Citadel Bulldogs didn't have to wait long last night at Boschmer Stadium to see why the Tar Heels are the top-ranked baseball team in the country. In the bottom of the second, Colin Moran unleashed a grand slam shot to right field to put the Heels on top of the Bulldogs 6-0.
The 0-1. Cool. Moran skies this to deep right. Hello, grand slam. Moran clears the bases on an 0-1 pitch, and a towering fly ball over the right field fence into the trees has made this a 6-0 Carolina advantage.
Michael Russell also had a hot bat. He was hot in the bottom of the seventh, certainly, when he unloaded a 3-run shot to left field to give Carolina a 10-0 lead over the Citadel.
The first pitch to Russell. This is hit hard towards left field. Going back is DeCarroll again. Looking up, and see ya! A 3-run homer. Michael Russell has made it 10-0 Carolina.
Tar Heels added three more in the eighth inning, and it was a shutout. Carolina 13, Citadel nothing. With that win, Carolina is now 42-4 overall. Still 19-3 in the ACC. Tar Heels get a brief break before exams, and they will suit up again next Tuesday night against James Madison here in Chapel Hill. Former UNC men's basketball coach Bill Guthridge will be inducted into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame tonight. So will former Carolina running back Kelvin Bryant. He joins Guthridge in the 2013 inductee class. Bryant won the 1988 Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. Other inductees tonight include Ron Francis, Wade Garrett, Tommy Helms, Marion Kirby, Rick McGeorge, Hugh Morton, Bob Quincy, Marty Sheets, and Mildred Southern. The 50th annual induction banquet set this evening at the Raleigh Convention Center. You can go to our website if you'd like to find out about getting tickets for that event. I'm Ron Stutz. Art Chansky has more on all of this coming up.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Hail, hail, Bill Guthridge and Kelvin Bryant, our newest Hall of Fame members. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. Two deserving Tar Heels will be inducted into the 50th class of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame tonight in Raleigh. Bill Guthridge and Kelvin Bryant, two men from different backgrounds and different sports, but who are both woven deep into the fabric of Carolina athletics and richly deserving inductees. Guthridge, of course, was Dean Smith's loyal right-hand man for 30 years, the glue that held the program together off the court, and the prime teacher for UNC big men and shooters on the court. It's no coincidence that Carolina had a run of all-star bigs from Rusty Clark to Lee Deadman to Bob McAdoo to Bobby Jones to Mitch Kupchak, to Tommy Lagarde, to Sam Perkins, to Brad Daugherty, to JRE, to Eric Montross, to Rasheed Wallace, to Anton Damerson, to Serge Swicker, and to Brendan Haywood. Most of them future pros, and all of them super achievers. And oh yes, during the Smith-Guthridge years, the Tar Heels were always among the highest percentage shooting teams in the country. We all know Guthridge turned down numerous head coaching jobs to stay with Smith and only took over the team after Smith's surprise retirement at 66 in 1997. Guthridge took the program to a 90-28 mark in two Final Fours as the UNC head coach before retiring himself after the 2000 season. Way to go, Coach Gut. Bryant was the oft-injured star running back for the Tar Heel teams in the late 70s and early 80s, although he still put up some staggering numbers, such as 3,267 career yards, 38 touchdowns, and about 5 yards per carry. But the Tarboro natives' best-remembered game was the opener his junior season against East Carolina, rushing for 211 yards and 19 carries and an ACC record 6 touchdowns. On the last two scores, Bryant ran through the end zone and handed the ball to stricken former teammate Steve Streeter, the all-star safety who'd been paralyzed in a car crash the previous February. Best gesture ever, KB. Bill Guthridge, the quiet Kansan who became a Tar Heel for life, and Kelvin Bryant, the explosive native son who never quite fulfilled his unlimited potential, are right where they belong tonight. Etched into North Carolina history forever. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Can my eyes be corrected so I don't need my glasses?
Am I too old for LASIK?
Can I afford it? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Why wait any longer? Call us today, 919-945-EYES.
No suitcase required. Best Tile is here to make your dream design project a reality with their unsurpassed global selection of tiles. And you only have to travel down the road. The team at Best Tile has sourced the globe so they can bring you the imported selections that you love close to home. Best Tile is located right in your neighborhood between Chapel Hill and Durham at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, just off I-40. So stop by and visit their extraordinary showroom and all that the world has to offer without ever leaving the triangle. Best Tile, local store, global selection. Begin your quest at besttile.com.
Guess where I'll be this summer?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's most popular gymnastics facility, is offering summer camps. Your children ages 3 and up will learn new skills, make new friends, get exercise, and have fun. Chapel Hill Gymnastics summer camps take place in our 7,000-plus square foot climate-controlled gymnasium conveniently located at the corner of Eubanks and Millhouse Roads. Register online today at chapelhillgymnastics.com or call 942-3655.
I'll be at Chapel Hill Gymnastics summer camp. You should come with me.
Are you the type who simply can't resist a classic?
He's looking at you, kid. Go ahead. Make my day.
If you can't resist a classic, then Breadman's Restaurant is the perfect place for you. You'll love the banana pudding.
Hello, gorgeous.
And you can get a full breakfast anytime.
Inconceivable!
Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
Breadman's Restaurant, since 1974. A Chapel Hill classic.
And God is my witness. I'll never be hungry again.
Would you like to relieve stress in your life? How about minimizing your tax liability? And wouldn't it be great to make tax time easier? This is Lida Coleman of Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, where we truly believe that tax time should not be complicated. Organizing your tax data before starting the process can reduce errors or possibly missing allowable deductions. For a free professional tax organizer, Google us on the web, Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, where our people make a difference.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:33, 27 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. We have 57 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for a high today of about 68. Cloudy skies all day and a chance of light rain continuing. UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe says if it was possible to narrow the investigation into the African and Afro-American Studies Department down simply in regards to academics and athletics, it would center around two figures connected to the department's administrative assistant, Debbie Crowder. In a WCHL News special with Jim Hebner, Chancellor Thorpe discussed his time leading the university from which he graduated. He talked to the successes and failures, what he's leaving behind for Dartmouth College's interim president, Carol Folt, and she will be taking over as chancellor, of course, and what he's headed for at Washington University out in St. Louis. Yesterday, we brought you part four of the interview. All this week will continue. You can also find the segment posted on our website, chapelboro.com. Now, here is part five of the conversation, Jim Hebner and Chancellor Holden Thorpe.
Chancellor, we've talked about the issues relating to the Honor Court and sexual conflicts, and this is intertwined in some respects with the issue of campus safety in general. I remember when you first took the job in this studio, in this room, the first question I asked you was, what was your top priority? And you said it was campus safety. How do you appraise how well you've done in that?
Well, I think we've done some really important things. When I was first coming in, was in the wake of Virginia Tech, and we were still feeling the loss of Eve Carson. And so that's, I'm sure, why I gave you that answer, and I think it was the right answer. We set up the text messaging system and the sirens. We've gotten that up and going. We have frequent tabletop exercises where we, and sometimes live exercises where we practice how we will respond to a major campus incident. And so I think that our capabilities, we have an emergency management team and we have phone numbers that we all call into and we practice that and drill that. So we're hopefully none of that will ever get tested, but if it does, we know the text messaging works and we know we practice calling into our numbers and we know who makes decisions about what when these kinds of things happen. And so I feel like we've moved a long way on that. And Chief McCracken I think, is regarded as one of the great police chiefs in higher education. He was selected for what's called the National Academy up at Quantico to get training for these kinds of events. And so I think that, you know, we've come a long way. There's every campus, when they send out alerts about incidents that are not, you know, a live shooter, gets a lot of commentary from the student press about whether the alert should have been sent out or should not have been sent out. And that's something that that is true. If you just look at every college newspaper in the country, you can find probably on any given day 25 editorials about whether the alert should or should not have been used. But the good thing is, when people are arguing about that and it's not a highly serious incident, what that shows is that the alert system works and that it's in place there. And I think we've done a good job of putting ours in place so that in the event that we did have a very serious incident, we would be able to communicate with people, and we've practiced our procedures for that.
Chancellor, you mentioned the Eve Carson murder. That was off campus, and it was not a terrorist activity. It was a murder, and we have the unsolved murder of Faith Daniel Hedgepeth. This one's a puzzle because the case files have been sealed, and we understand they're sealed until May the 12th. What role can your administration play, if any, in matters of that kind?
Well, when Chapel Hill or Carborough is investigating a death, we try to respect their jurisdiction as much as we can. They don't share a lot of details with us, and I can understand why, because we have so many people who are asking us various things about these cases. And so we respect their ability to carry out their investigation. So what we do is try to provide support to the people who are dealing with these tragedies, make sure they know how to get to counseling and wellness, and that, you know, and that if the police department needs any information, that we work with them to get it as quickly as possible.
One of the spinoffs of the Melinda Manning Landon Gamble stories is the formation of that group called Safer Carolina. I think that's an acronym for something. There have been multiple rallies on the campus demanding better protection for sexual assault victims on the campus. They're a challenge to whether the university has a sense that the university has created an appropriately safe environment. Are those rallies unfair to you?
I'm glad people are talking about this. The thing that I think your listeners need to understand is that we have obligations that are spelled out by the Department of Education in something called the Dear Colleague Letter, which is a very complicated document. It's not quite as complicated as the instrument for the Honor Court that we were talking about, but it's very complicated in terms of the obligations that we have. And not everybody agrees about what those obligations should be. But the federal government has told us what they are, and so that's what we adhere to. And what all universities are trying to do is to carry out our adjudicatory obligations that are spelled out in the Dear Colleague Letter, and balance that with providing support to victims of sexual assault who are important people in our community who need to be supported. And that is challenging, and this whole national debate that you see playing out is about how is that best to be done. And right now, you know, we have our case at North Carolina, but Swarthmore and Occidental College were the ones in the news last week. And, you know, next week it'll probably be two different schools. And this is a movement that's playing out around the country. And frankly, I think it's a movement that the Department of Education anticipated when they sent out the guidance that they sent out. And again, it's a good thing that we're acknowledging that these sexual assaults are occurring, and we're trying to do something about it. These things have been going on in college campuses for as long as college campuses have been around.
That does bring up an interesting question in general, and that is whether campuses in general, are they really more or less dangerous than they were 50 years ago, or does the danger just get a better press?
Yeah, I think it's hard to assess that in absolute terms, but again, I think that, you know, we have the alerts and we have the disaster preparedness work that we do, and You know, information is shared much more quickly. And so I'd say that we probably are safer, but it doesn't appear that way because we know a lot more about what's going on.
Chancellor, I want to turn to the AFAM scandal while we're talking about aberrations. I suspect that all of our listeners know about the AFAM scandal, the Department of African American Studies. It's maybe one of the most convoluted scandals that I can ever recall in my time here. We had an African American department chair, Julius Nyangoro. Is that pronounced?
Nangora.
Right? Nangora. I always say that wrong. Nangora, like Angora, like the sweater. Giving out passing grades for fake classes that never met. That overlapped the athletic scandal and made that worse. It involved plagiarism by a football player, the apparent accidental posting of the academic record of Julius Peppers, now a rich and famous star in the NFL. You know, I think if Andy Griffith were around here, he probably would have said, and I don't know what all. I'm not trying to make light of it, but have you ever seen anything quite like that?
I get that question a lot, and I try not to speculate on sort of the relative complicated features of this. But no, there's no question that this was a very complicated story and one that is embarrassing and unprofessional for the university and something that went on far too long and should have been caught a lot sooner. And the underlying politics of it all are very, very complicated. And I guess it's an overused phrase, but I think it's fair to say it's a perfect storm.
Well, when you think about it, I can't think of a particular cost at this stage. Just speculating. The most interesting thing about all of that would be, what was his motive? Can you speculate? What do you believe his motive might have been?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that Julius Nangoro knew about these things and I'm sure participated to some extent, but Debbie Crowder, who was the department manager, according to Jim Martin and the various analyses that we've done, was the one who was carrying these things out. And everything we've heard about her is that she wanted to help students. And so students came to her office and they needed a class to graduate or they needed extra help, and they got more than they should have. And that comes from a very wholesome and important thing about universities, which is most of us work here because we want to help students. And it's the university's job to make sure that those people don't provide the students too much help. And we failed at that in this case. And did so for a long period of time, since 1997, it would appear from Jim Martin. So there are a lot of people who could have picked this up. I don't think there was any malicious intent behind the fact that nobody found it. But again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier, that we can't kid ourselves about the fact that these things can happen in Chapel Hill. We need to acknowledge the fact that these things can happen, and if we do that, it frees us to catch them when they do. I think the procedures that we put in place have been reviewed multiple times, and everybody agrees that we put procedures and policies in place to keep this from happening, but that doesn't excuse the fact that lots of deans and lots of provosts and lots of other people should have caught this for 14 years.
So Debbie Crowder was probably the instigator of this, and we could just say, and we don't know what her motivation is, except perhaps she loved too much, would be what you're saying.
Yes, I think that's right. And then in terms of the athletics part, you know, I think there's been all this discussion about whether it was an athletics thing or wasn't an athletics thing. Of course, the athletes knew about this, and we have been transparent about the fact that Debbie Crowder is the longtime partner of Warren Martin, and it was in the Martin Report, and in my opinion, maybe not acknowledged to the extent that it should have been, that Burgess McSwain, the longtime basketball tutor, was a close friend of Debbie Crowder's. So that provided the access to what was going on, and I think that is just the simple analysis about this whole question of whether it was an athletic scandal or an academic scandal. It just boils down to that.
Is anyone subject to criminal prosecution in that?
I don't believe so, but that's being investigated externally.
Well, other than just being more careful, What can we learn from the experience? Are you comfortable with the changes that you've made in oversight?
I mean, the only thing that worries me about the changes in oversight is whether it's overkill and whether we'll be able to sustain it. So I think there's no question that we've got lots of policies in place to catch this kind of thing. But I think more importantly in terms of the culture, as I've said numerous times in this interview, is, you know, recognizing that this place isn't perfect and things can happen here. And this happened for 14 years and lots of great, great people who served this university well were administrators during that time, and none of us caught this. So that's just something that we got to be open and honest with each other about.
We'll talk about the nature of the university and what the chancellor may want to leave us with when we continue.
That is part five of a WCHL News special with Jim Hebner, speaking with UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe as he prepares to depart Carolina and take the position of provost at Washington University in St. Louis. If you missed any part of that interview, you can hear it again today at 3:30 and 5:30 p.m. on the WCHL Afternoon and Evening News with Aaron Keck. The entire interview will also be played Saturday and Sunday. WCHL, good morning. It is 8:47, 13 minutes until 9 o'clock. And Logan's here. Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton.
I've been listening to WCHL for almost 20 years now. It's been such a great resource for our community, and really proud to have WCHL be a local broadcaster to Carborough. We love to have an independent voice and ear out there listening and talking about what's happening in Chapel Hill and Carborough, and WCHL is doing that.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Nice hat. Coming up next, today's commentary on the way from Raleigh Mann.
Hi, Tar Heel fans. Jones Angel here to tell you about Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. If you're looking for a winning team to help you purchase the home of your dreams or simply refinance, make sure you call Robbie Oakes and Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. I know, I'm glad I did. Corporate Investors Mortgage Group is the only locally owned mortgage bank located right here in Chapel Hill. Robbie Oakes and Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. They're here to help you every step of the way.
You know, getting older isn't easy. Chronic pain, balance issues, driving after dark, these are the challenges seniors face every day. At Home Instead Senior Care, we understand these battles and why they're so important to you. We're not babysitters or maids, nurses or taxi drivers. We are caregivers, dedicated to helping you maintain your independence. At Home Instead Senior Care, we know the battles you're facing. Call us at 919-933-3300 and find out why at Home Instead Senior Care, to us, it's personal.
This is David Huntoon of Coleman Huntoon & Brown, your local CPAs and advisors. You've heard the phrase, taxes and death are certain, but not so certain is how your estate will be handled after your passing. Let us help you set up a properly structured and strategic estate plan that enables you to achieve your life goals and strengthen the financial security for your loved ones.
To find out more, talk to Coleman Huntoon & Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care. Transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Good morning. It is 57 degrees and cloudy, 8:49, 11 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Talk about overlooking the obvious. The story goes that Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were on a camping trip, and they pitched their tent under the stars and went to sleep. In the middle of the night, Holmes awakened and said, "Watson, look up and tell me what you deduce." Opening his eyes, Watson said, "I see billions of stars. It's likely that some of these stars have planetary systems, and furthermore, I deduce there's probably oxygen on some of those planets, and it's possible that life has developed on a few of them. Is that what you see?" Holmes replied, "No, you idiot. Somebody stole our tent." Now, about that new traffic light on Estes Drive near the newly remodeled library. This is not to suggest that those who plan traffic improvements in Chapel Hill are idiots. Of course they aren't. They do some very nice things. That new traffic light does help the folks coming from the library, after all. But you do have to wonder if those planners actually drive in this town. The other day, I saw several drivers trying to take advantage of that new traffic light and enter Estes Drive. I say trying to because, of course, that left turn lane at Estes Drive and East Franklin Street, the one that lets eastbound traffic turn north onto Franklin, Franklin was back far up the hill, as usual, making it difficult for library patrons to shoehorn their way onto Estes Drive. Have you noticed? It seems that that turn lane usually is backed way up, several cars deep, and drivers who want to turn left have to squeeze over into the straight-ahead lane and cheat over the center line. Unsafe and illegal. It's been that way for years. Do you think we might have fixed that problem first before we put in that traffic light? This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, Chapel Hill lost a good friend last month, but up until a few weeks ago, Bob Patton, at 91 years old, seemed to be everywhere, helping, encouraging, especially honoring and remembering our veterans. Well, 68 years ago today, on May 2nd, 1945, the war in Europe was racing towards an end, and General George Patton's Third Army was chasing the broken German forces into Austria. And there was a young North Carolinian, also named Patton, Staff Sergeant Robert Patton. And he and other soldiers of the 65th Infantry Division were poised on the banks of the Inn River, waiting for orders to cross that river and secure the small town of Scharding in Austria. Bob Patton and his comrades had to make a dangerous crossing in small platoon boats and rafts. And they lost 9 of their fellow American soldiers to that surging river. But once on the other side, the Americans quickly overran the local resistance of the militia and Nazi youth, those who were left in place to fight alone as the regular German forces had abandoned the village in a headlong retreat. Having conquered Scharding, Robert Patton's unit rushed forward in pursuit and participated in the liberation of the Mauthausen concentration camp just a few days before the final German surrender on May 8, 1945. That Battle of Scharding, well, it might have been a lost memory in the wartime experiences of the greatest generation, except for something that Bob Patton did years later. Once the war was over, Patton's mother packed up his uniform and carefully stored it in the attic in Rutherfordton. When she died in 1993, Patton found his World War II uniform neatly stored in the attic where she had carefully placed it so long ago. Patton took it to his own attic in Chapel Hill, where it remained until, well, that's the rest of the story. A few years ago, Patton and other members of that 65th Division retraced their wartime movements and revisited Scharding, where local officials greeted them warmly and proudly showed them their town museum on the old Scharding Castle grounds. When one of the officials asked Patton if he could help them secure an American uniform to add to their collection of World War II material, Patton offered his own and later delivered it in person at which time the mayor and the museum director and many other local officials and a uniformed honor guard escorted Patton to the Castle Museum for a celebration and ceremony. So unlike the uniforms of so many veterans, which seem to just fade away and disappear over time, Patton's uniform is secure, safe in the hands of the former enemies in Scharding, who, like Patton's many friends in Chapel Hill, will remember this wonderful man whose generous spirit blessed us all. This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G. That's a great story, and Bob Patton was a great man. In fact, he was a WCHL hometown hero not once but twice over the years, and I certainly remember him very well. We have today's hometown hero coming up next on WCHL. Congratulations to Mike Combathus of Carborough, who called in with the word of the day, fugacious, F-U-G-A-C-I-O-U-S. It means lasting only a short period of time.
There's nothing better than the refreshing taste of a Cruiser's ice-cold fountain drink. I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. At Cruisers, we use 100% filtered water for the highest quality fountain drinks and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees for only 79 cents. So grab your favorite drink with their chewy ice and add a flavor shot like cherry or lemon lime at most Cruisers locations. You'll taste the difference. We guarantee it.
Cruisers, good to go.
If you're looking for a show that's funny, fabulous, just plain old fun, you've got to see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical. There are so many great songs in the show, and you'll know every single one of them. You'll love Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical.
Now on stage for 1 week only. For best seats, go online to dpacnc.com today.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Stephanie Miller, 9 to noon, here on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jeffrey Robinson is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Jeffrey Robinson is one of our ESL teachers. He is at Carborough High School, and he is outstanding. He has started a homework club after school for students that need some extra support with math and writing and any subjects that they need help a couple afternoons a week. And he's got about 50 students staying after school to get extra help from volunteers.
That's George Ann McKay, ESL and volunteer specialist with the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System. Tonight, I'll be at the school board meeting to present Jeffrey Robinson with a WCHL award for use of volunteers in the classroom.
This award is given each year to a teacher who has consistently made use of volunteers during the school year, and they've offered that opportunity to students to get the support, so they've worked well with volunteers, and they just have done a wonderful job managing volunteers, which he has done this year as well as years past. He was a teacher at East Chapel Hill High before going over to Carborough High School. So he's consistently, year after year, had volunteers in the school supporting students.
Not only is Jeffrey Robinson supportive of the students, but he also supports the volunteers in a big way.
He provides volunteers with the materials, whatever they need to work with the students and what they're struggling with, if it's science, what the project is. And so they have this hour after school that these kids are getting some great help, and these volunteers feel like, oh, they're really needed. So he makes them feel like their time is valued while they're there in the afternoon.
If you'd like to volunteer,
our school system makes available opportunities for community people, for UNC students, for retired people to come into the school, help in a classroom, and this is pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. With any needs that teachers have that students in the classroom need support, we have school reading partners, writing volunteers, ESL volunteers, and the list goes on and on.
Jeffrey Robinson certainly makes great use of volunteers.
He's a fun guy. The kids like him. They say, oh, Mr. Robinson, he knows everything. So he really does know exactly what the students need, and he really makes his presence known. The kids come to him for help.
Our thanks to George Ann McKay for the nomination, and congratulations, Jeffrey Robinson, ESL teacher at Carborough High School. He's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic